Hey, are you waiting on God to do something big in your life? You don't want to miss the next podcast, More Faith, More Life. I'm going to teach you how to turn your waiting into receiving. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another More Faith, More Life podcast. Of course, I've got Kathy with me. She's been with me the last weeks, and I enjoy it so much, Kathy. As long as I can get you, I'll probably put you on here unless I get somebody else. On here, because I enjoy having you on here, and I think it helps just everybody that's watching to see us work together and just show how our lives have been put together. Of course, this has been an exciting time in our lives as we see that we are history makers, whether we're in the forefront, whether you're on the front lines or the back lines, or you just voted. You made history if you voted.
Yes.
And then now we're in the history of what's next for people. We see what's next for our government. Our government's racing ahead, right? With all kinds of changes that I'm happy about, and I think are needed. Common sense things, as they say. But of course, now we've got other areas in our world.
Yes.
Now we have to get the church to catch up. Because we've been in this lull of government and inflation and strange teachings in public school and all that stuff. What's going on in our school? All that. Now, all of a sudden, everything's changed. And we're in a new era right now.
Yeah, we are. You know, our nation is in a new era. And we've been waiting and waiting and hoping and many praying for about the past 4 years for a change, for God to intervene against all odds, really. And we just waited 4 years, and now our wait is over.
Yeah.
It's over, but it took time, you know, and sometimes people said, when is this going to be over? You know, we're hanging on, but how is it going to be? When is it going to be?
And now, of course, we're like, the news media is amazed. People are amazed of what took place as the masses of people that apparently had been waiting, masses of people that have been waiting, and all of a sudden they come out and vote, and all of a sudden, what? Where have all these people been? Well, it's just a great surprise, but there were a lot of people waiting that now have come out and changed in our country is changing. Now, of course, our world is the church world, and we can be in a waiting period. For me, Kathy, I want to see the churches of America step into as much a renaissance. Renaissance has changed. A renaissance of conservative. A renaissance. There's a renaissance of religion right now. Mm-hmm. But you know where it's at? It's not in the churches. The renaissance, the revival, the rejuvenation of spirit and prayer. At the inauguration and events, people are praying. They're saying the name of Jesus. They're exercising their faith. They're outspoken again. They're singing songs and saying, you know, what God's done for them and all that. How wonderful. But now the church is still in a lull of what's been happening the last 4 years. That cloud is still over the church. The church now needs to break out, but now we have to figure out how. So we have been, and we are right now.
Yeah,
I hope it's our turn, but we are in a waiting. What is the church going to do across the country? And I'm talking about all denominations. We can't let just this fiery preacher, let's hope he gets it, but this one that reads liturgical prayer, he reads these prayers every morning on Sunday morning. Fine. We need to have something God happen.
Amen.
We need a God. We need something as dramatic that has happened in our government to happen in our churches to affect the world and to help change the people. We're changing our government, but we're not changing our hearts. If we don't change our hearts, Kathy, we'll still have shootings. We'll still have terrorist acts. We'll still have dangers. We'll still be saying, are we going to be attacked by another country? See, we'll still have, because it's the hearts of the people that are fighting each other, that are hating each other. So I am so excited that the government is changing. But now the church is the place that changes the heart. The government changes laws, right?
Yeah.
The government changes the way we do life, or what we, you know, how we handle money, the stock market, whatever. The government regulates and does things and protects us and all those kinds of things, and changes the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, or whatever it does.
Yay.
What's the church? Where is the church? Yeah. The church has been, historically, the power that changes a nation. When our country was founded, it was founded on Christian values, whether you agree, you know, some people don't like them. Doesn't matter whether you like them or not. It happened.
Yeah.
And our great universities that we can name today, like, can you name Harvard? Name
Yale and all those Ivy League ones.
They were all started by theologians who were bringing people in, education and God together. Well, obviously, that's been lost. Now our colleges, and especially the Ivy Leagues, they're out of their minds.
Yes.
They're out of their minds what they're doing to people and what they're saying. Well, they're going to have to wake up, because people are going to quit giving them money.
Yeah.
Money will talk to them.
And quit sending your kids to them like that's the big deal for their lives, because they'll come out unbelieving and humanist.
Now, anytime a person is in the waiting mode, because we've been in the waiting mode, as you and I, at least us, for our nation, and now we're seeing breakthroughs. Mm-hmm. But during that waiting mode, where was I? Like, I'm looking at weird legislation, and they're telling me maybe I won't be able to keep my gas stove. I'm going, what? You know, like, I'm thinking, what are you talking about here? There's so many other things we should be dealing with, you know. And so I'm like, what? So I'm waiting for some common sense. But I did not despair. I was not crushed under it. I did not worry. I was not afraid. And the reason why is because the way you survive waiting for what's coming is by knowing the person who's bringing what's coming. So I was hopeful and patient. How do you stay hopeful and patient and waiting? Because you're not waiting for an event. You're not waiting for that job, Kathy. You're not waiting for the raise. You're not waiting for your marriage to get better. You're waiting for the person, Jesus Christ, to increase in your life and increase you.
Yes.
Increase by the Spirit of God. Yeah. That person never changed. The person is still going through troubles and tragedies and difficulties through history, but Jesus has still been there. So how I, through this time when, you know, we went through pandemic and we went through terrible inflation, it's still got to be corrected and better, get better, and threats of wars and rumors of wars and all that kind of stuff. Jesus stayed the same. I can wait. I can wait in hope. I can wait without fear, because He is going to come around. His truth is marching on, as we've been saying, and they sang at the inauguration, and we know that the kingdom of God is advancing.
Yes.
So when we see and we feel like there's been some retreat or confusion, or what the heck is going on in our country, all these, what legislation, who's being pardoned, all that kind of stuff, the kingdom of God is advancing. I just need to wait for its moment and stay faithful and solid on the Jesus who hasn't changed and the God who never changes.
Well, you know, Steve, Isaiah 41:3 said, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and they'll rise up like wings on eagles. And so many people think that the word wait, which we're talking about today, that some people think wait is like, okay, I'm just going to sit here. Okay, God, whenever you want to do this, whenever you want to change me or anything, you know, whenever you want to save our nation or wake up the church, well, I'm just waiting, God, I'm just waiting. And that's not what it means. That word wait means it's an action word, like not sitting dull, but pressing forward with excitement and serving. It means you wait on. At a restaurant, there's a waiter. They wait on you.
Right.
Well, they're serving you. They're making you comfortable and feel important and feeding you something. Well, that's how it is supposed to be. When we wait on the Lord, we are in hope. We are in expectation. And we're serving Him the whole time. And those are the people that will. That kind of waiting, God's timing, they're going to get the strength. They're going to be the ones exalted.
So when we talk about waiting, whether on the Lord or waiting for something else to happen or waiting to get that raise, Are you saying we should try to take it out of the time frame and say waiting is not about time?
Right.
Waiting is about what you do while you're waiting.
Exactly.
In time. While you're waiting in time. Right. You wait is what you do while you're waiting.
That's right. It's a doing word. It's not sitting like a bump on a log, but it's a doing, and you're actively seeking the Lord and declaring your trust in Him and in His timing. And while you're talking with hope and expectation and worshiping Him, reading your Bible out loud and to the Lord, that is waiting. That is serving Him and hoping in Him, you know. Here, I'm your waiter.
Right.
Let me give you an uplift, Lord. Let me acknowledge who you are. You're important to me, Lord. You know, like you'd say, you're an important customer, but I'm going to wait on you, Lord. Mm. I'm going to serve you.
I had a waiting experience, not with God, but the other day up here at the corner where we go a lot of times and turn and head out to the interstate, and there's that left turn there.
Oh, my.
And I went there, and I was sitting there, and, you know, it's kind of a long light anyway, mm-hmm. if you get stuck there. And so I need to a left-hand turn. I'm sitting and sitting and sitting. Okay, so I was doing that this time, and the car in front of me was sitting, and the light turned green to do the left turn. And I'm sitting there. I got my turn signal on. I don't know if they did, but they're just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And you know what was happening to me while I was waiting?
What?
Okay, so I probably should have laid on the horn, yelled, screamed, done a little road rage or something, you know. But you know what was happening to me? I'm sitting there, and I'm watching. I'm thinking, this is a long light. I'm sitting at this turn signal left or arrow, and that car's not moving, and it's just sitting there, and I could feel myself sinking. I'm like, they're not going to move, are they? They're not going to go. I'm going to sit here. And, of course, you know what happened.
He
the last
went.
Second,
yeah.
They take off, and now I'm sitting like this light. I'm going like, and you know what? That can happen to people waiting for the next thing. They're realizing I'm waiting and waiting. The life is going on. Time is passing. I'm not going to make the light, am I? I'm waiting. It's not going to happen this time. It's not. Now, the light's going to turn green again. I just got to wait.
Wait.
But I felt myself sinking like I missed it. And now I have to wait more, and I don't like this. So one of the things that people make, a mistake that people make in the waiting period is losing heart.
Yes.
They just give up, lose heart, and just sink like I did. Like, I won't honk, I won't fight, I won't press, I'm going to miss this light, I'll just sit here. And so they lose heart, and they give up, and they just sink. And then the other mistake that people make is when waiting for what's coming is to go ahead and jump and make a mistake or force something or say, well, since that's not happening, it must mean that this is supposed to happen. And they end their waiting period. Right before we started this, we talked about waiting. You could talk about it. Abraham got a promise from God that he was going to be the father of many nations and have a child in his old age. Yeah. But Sarah, his wife, didn't want to wait.
No.
What happened?
Well, she got impatient, and she started manipulating things. She made a big mess, and instead of waiting for the seed of Abraham to be born and become the inheritor, well, she forced him to have a little affair with her maid, and there we have now, we have Ishmael. We have Hagar's mom and Ishmael, and that started a ton of trouble, which we are very much still experiencing for generations.
Yeah.
And now it's happening there in the Middle East. We're seeing that strife and that striving and the hatred against, you know, God's people instead of coming together. And we're seeing that still today. So, ladies, please do not push your husband. Do not manipulate your husband. Husbands do know timing better than we do often. I'm saying that as a wife, and I'm saying that publicly to my husband. With, you know, sometimes women, they can't wait as long.
Yeah, I think she did get a little pushy with him.
She did.
And do we get the feeling that he probably would have waited without nudging? Probably. He could have made a mistake himself. But we see that his wife came up with the big idea, and it's a huge mess.
Know.
Even today.
Oh, well,
and eventually, though, they get it right
because
the son has to be born when they're too old or both too old. It has to be born out of death. In other words, she asked, he said, her womb is good as dead and I'm as good as dead. Well, that had to happen because God's going to bring what? Life out of death. God's got to bring the resurrection. Mm. It can't be that there's any place to squeeze out and say, well, it would have happened anyway because Jesus wasn't really dead or whatever. No. And so so God had to bring out, say, Abraham, you got to be good as dead to bring life. And Sarah, you got to be good as dead to bring life because I got to bring life from death. I got to do it. Got to do it to show how I do it.
Yeah.
So you can be a history maker and show that. So that's why they had to wait until Isaac was born, because he was born when it was impossible. So,
So I know times in our lives, in our ministry, in our walk together, that there have been times when we've waited for specific things or specific actions from the Lord, and just that waiting thing, and sometimes wondering, you know, what's going on. But then, as we've learned to wait, I tell you what, there have been many Isaacs in the spirit realm given to us. You know, and if we had been impatient or jumped ahead or, you know, taken on more ministry than at our character stages we were able to, we wouldn't have hardly any Isaacs. But, but we got them now because we waited in hope on the Lord for the children.
I think a lot of churches need to learn that lesson because we aren't impatient. I was impatient at the light. I can be impatient, but because I like to go forward. I like now. Everybody likes to get it done now and see it now. But you know, as a good pastor and a good leader, we need to look and say, "This is where our people are. This is where my church is. This is where I want to go."
Yeah.
Now let's go that way. I'm willing to wait to work towards that, develop the people so they develop and they're ready for what God wants to do. So many people, you know, jump ahead. They want to have revival and that. So, you know, they get a guest evangelist in who's really powerful and exciting, all that. They do a Sunday morning and do a Sunday night. Wow, oh, we're so excited. People come back Monday night because it's the week of revival, you know, that they have at their church. And everybody gets so excited and things like that. And then the week of revival ends. And instead of keeping something going, that it's over with. Well, our revival is over now. We had it. We waited. We had it. It's done. And a good pastor says, wait a minute. What we saw when that guest was here, the more energy, the more prayer, the more altar calls or whatever like that, I want that all the time. I don't want it twice a year with a guest evangelist. I want it to happen when I'm preaching, you know. And so you set that as a goal, and then you start working toward it and willing to wait for it. When we opened the church in Smithton in 1984, as you may have heard the story, we got offered great churches in Chicago, but we turned it down for a church that was dead, no people, no money, a piano and some old pews, nothing.
Yeah.
Locked up for 4 years, nothing, zero, zero, zero. And God talked to me and said, I'll tell you what I'd do. I wouldn't take that church in Chicago. I'd raise the dead in a church built in 1859 that had no people, no money, dead religion, locked up, and Jesus told me I'd take that and bring life to it, and I'd bring revival to it. So we opened that up in 1984 with the idea that God's going to revive us. God's going to do something great. And I know it sounded crazy back then when I would stand there in that church in a town of 532 people and say, imagine people coming to this church from all over the world. Remember I would say that? And I'd point like this and say, imagine them lining up to get in this building because God's so powerfully in the house. Well, it's a great thing. They'd cheer and that. Or when we first started, all 12 people would cheer, or 30 people or 40 as the years went by. But that's when waiting. I got set for it, and then I waited. Now, I'm in a town of 532 people, turned down a huge church, big church with big money in a big city. And I wait, and I wait, and guess what? 12 years from that promise, I would raise the dead. I had to wait 12 years. And then, right before he raised the dead, so to speak, with the revival, it even got lower and it got worse before it got better. So you'd think like, oh, it's almost here. I can feel it. I can feel you, Lord. I can feel, you know, that preacher got up and he said, the Holy Ghost is all over me, you know, and he's ready to preach. Well, I felt nothing. There was no sign that anything was ever going to happen. And 12 years passed and it started like, this is hard. What's going to happen? What am I going to do? But we waited. And suddenly then that year in 1996 now, 12 years later, yes, we could say Isaac showed up.
Yes.
What was born out of, what could have been born out of the natural for 12 years, trying to program after program, I sat and I preached revival and I preached revival until 12 years later, the power of God struck. And like Isaac was born, not the ordinary way, born from above, the power of God came down in that service. And yep, people from all over the world, every nations all over the world, every state in the union, lined up for 3.5 years to get in that building, 1,000 people every day, well, 5 days a week, right? So I had to wait, but I had to not despair while I waited and not give up. And finally, God came through. Now, every church probably would have liked to have that happen. Like, they'd love to have Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine and all the TV and Wall Street Journal and St. Louis Post-Dispatch, of course, Kansas City Star, I was going to say, San Francisco Chronicle, all the papers that made, you know, all the stories. They came and they called me and did stories on it, right? Well, what pastor wouldn't like that? But they're not willing to wait. So they have many revivals. So they have a explosive weekend. Oh, that was such a great weekend. Then go back to normal. Yeah. So that's why people don't know how to wait. They don't have to say, this is what we want. And we're willing to wait for it before the Lord and serve him, though, in the meantime, yeah, not just do nothing, right, which is what most people do. Yeah. So now we are in a different place as we learn. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, we've been waiting. We still need to wait because the church is not ready. The church worldwide or the church across our country, America, is not ready for what's happening in our government right now. I'm saying our government is ready to go, wow, we have a leader. We're going to rewrite. We're going to, what is all the presidential things that are going on?
You know, executive acts.
Executive orders, yeah. He's doing all these executive orders, and the nation's going, yes, yes, yes. Well, let's just have a few pastors step in their church this week and do some executive orders. Amen. And say, we're going to stop having worship for 20 minutes. We're going to have as long as we want to have it, right? We're going to stop getting out in an hour. We're going to stop feeling sorry for you. We're going to stop treating you like losers. We're going to start expecting you to be a servant of the Most High God. Get your stuff together. Put on the whole armor of God. Stop being deceived. Stop whining. Stop complaining. There's an executive order we could use from some pastors. But the pastors are so afraid that they're going to try to, that's what's going to happen. We are in a waiting period of an outbreak of God's Spirit, an outbreak of a renaissance of the Spirit of God, revival, where the fire of God's in people. People want to talk about God. People want to come to church. People want to hear a sermon. People want to hear prayer. They want to worship God. I'm praying, Kathy, it's going to be old-fashioned to look at your watch at a church service and say, what time does this thing get over? Right? How long? How fast can we get in? Because I got important stuff to do, and people are going to want to be in church. They're going to come early. They're going to stay late. They're going to bring their neighbors. They're going to bring their kids. They're going to bring their teenagers, and we're all going to have a renaissance. It's going to be an executive order from the throne of God. But we're going to have to wait. You know why? Because our churches are so coddled, so lazy, so whiny, so puny that they're so stressed right now, Kathy, that we couldn't ask them to stay longer. We can't say we're going to do more. We can't say we're going to have a midweek prayer service. I can't. I can't handle it now. I can't hardly make it. Now, all right. Well, pastors, you're going to have to start sowing the seeds of revival and give us some time to adjust until we say the waiting period is over. See, here's the mistake that churches make, Kathy. Churches always give themselves more time. Jesus said this. He said, you say you got 4 more months. He said, I say the harvest is ready now. Kathy, I say the harvest is ready now, but we're not. The nation is changing. The voices are rising. The people are calling. celebrities are using the name of Jesus publicly. And we can't even hardly get our pastors to say the name of Jesus. People want to know truth. They want to move forward. So we are at a place of waiting, yes, but it's time for the church and the leaders to follow the leading of the cry of the people of our nation. We want some common sense religion. We want to connect with God. We want to get our lives on track. We want to be wholesome. We want to be have values. We want to send our kids to school and know they're safe. All those things, right?
Yes.
Our nation is there. Our churches are trying to get there. And the leaders need to say, our time of waiting is over. It's time to make our move. And if we're not ready to make our move, then we need to set a goal and say, this is where we're going to be in a year. We're going to be a church on fire for God. And we're going to start working towards that. And just like we had to wait for one administration to end, right now we need some church administrations to end. And we need a renaissance, a revival of the preachers and people of God to rise up and say, yep, we want something born of the Spirit. I don't want to go to a church born of the ordinary way. Anybody can build a church built on business model. But not very many men or women out there can get the power of God to break out of heaven. God, break forth and come down among your people and show us that we can say God is among us again, right? People are trying to make America great again. Listen, guys and gals, we better make the church great again. It can no longer be the whining bunch of people just hanging on, bickering among themselves on Facebook, telling how much the church ruined their lives, hurt their feelings, or didn't give them what they want. Ah, we are on the edge of something big. Come on, let's get a revival. Let's get the churches now to follow the pattern of the nation. The people of America have spoken. Now let the church folks rise to the occasion till we can say, revive us again. Will you revive us again, O Lord? And the Lord says, yes, I will revive you again. Well, tell your friends about this, about we've been talking about this great stuff. Tell your friends, you better listen to this because this guy and this gal and this group, they're moving on and they're going to teach us the way to revival, all right? So tell your friends to meet, to watch this podcast, More Faith, More Life, and their life will change. More faith is going to produce more life, and it's going to change the world. See you next time. Bye-bye.